This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. It's great to have you with us for the Friday edition of the Noon Business Hour as another trading week getting ready to wrap up in just a few hours. I'm Cisco Cotto. Chris Kreidel has the day off. It's 52 degrees in Chicagoland with beautiful sunshine, and that sun is going to stick around throughout the day as we head to a high of 57 for your weekend. Tomorrow, a high of 63 with some more sunshine, and then Sunday, a high of 71 degrees. We'll have some sun early on Sunday, but then later on in the day, some rain hitting us and maybe even some thunderstorms late on Sunday. The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank. Let's kick things off with an update of Wall Street. At Bloomberg, here's Elisa Parenti.
Well, Cisco, we've got a rally afoot on Wall Street with the Dow up 193 points or 0.75% and the benchmark moving above 26,500. NASDAQ is also higher by 104 points. That's a gain now of 1.33%. And the S&P up 26 points. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index gaining 1%. The unemployment rate is the lowest it's been in 50 years, but not entirely for the best of reasons. A number of people have stopped looking for work and stopped being counted as unemployed. Wall Street, though, is setting that part of the report aside, paying more attention to the good news in the April jobs report that 263,000 workers were added to payrolls. And to a Wall Street ever watching out for inflation, there was growth in wages did not accelerate. So after a couple of days of losses, we are finishing the week strong. Oil also higher by 0.5% and back above $62. Earnings results today better than expected for Fiat Chrysler. That stock up almost 6%. Fiat Chrysler posted strength in its North American sales of SUVs and trucks. That offset weakness in Europe and Asia. And finally, Weight Watchers is adding 14% right now, also on the heels of a better-than-expected quarterly performance. The company is bringing shareholder Oprah Winfrey back into its marketing, launching a new spot featuring her this week. Back to you, Cisco.
Thanks so much, Elisa. Coming up on today's Noon Business Hour, we'll dig deeper into the jobs report and the jobless rate and find out just what kind of trajectory we're on, especially in the wider economy. We'll talk about Arlington Park, how it's handling Kentucky Derby weekend. Entrepreneur Friday, a local mom-and-pop toy store turns 25 years old. And we'll talk about a Southside mega project that says it may be able to get by without city TIF funds. All of that and loads more on today's Noon Business Hour.
Cashing in with conversation. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Arlington International Racecourse opens for the season today. We'll get a preview of how they're handling Derby weekend in our next segment. Right now, the government jobs report for April is today's headliner. We're joined by Carl Riccadonna, chief U.S. economist at Bloomberg, based in New York. Carl, for people maybe who haven't seen the report yet or heard much about it, kind of give us the nuts and bolts of what's in there.
Absolutely. Good afternoon. Thanks for having me on the program. We saw a pretty strong jobs report today. In fact, we saw the number of jobs created, which was 263,000. That was well in excess of what economists were forecasting. On top of that, we also saw the unemployment rate fall to a 49-year low, down to 3.6%. So this is an economy that's doing quite well. And when we think about that 49-year low and look back to what the economy was doing 49 years ago, that was in the middle of the draft for the Vietnam War, where we had really tight labor conditions in the U.S. economy. At that time, we were getting lots of inflation. We had a wage price spiral that was intensifying. What's different this time around is that even though the unemployment rate is so low, when we look at things like average hourly earnings growth, it's expanding, and it's expanding faster than inflation, but it is hardly accelerating in a way that we should be worried about a big pickup in inflation in the U.S. economy.
So given that wage growth and maybe other factors that a low unemployment rate brings, talk about what this is like for employees. Is it good news for people working and who want jobs? And also talk about employers. What kind of an impact does it have?
Yeah, so we got some data on the employment cost index, which is kind of the cost of labor from the employer's perspective, earlier this week. And it does show that things are moving in a positive direction. So bad news for employers because they are having to pay up for labor, especially if they want to retain skilled talent. But that's good news for workers. To be sure, there's increasing labor scarcity, which gives workers a bit more bargaining power. And all of this creates a pretty rosy backdrop for the economy as we think about the year ahead of us, because we're looking at a fairly stiff tailwind to consumer spending as we think about the next couple of quarters. And this is helping auto sales and, as you mentioned in the earlier segment, and consumer spending more broadly. There was a little bit of uncertainty at the start of the year. Looked like we had a nosedive in retail sales. Business investment was weak. The market was certainly wobbly. Suddenly, it looks like we're getting back on track, and there's some strong labor market fundamentals to really put the icing on the cake.
Talk a little bit about spending, and if you have employees making more money, so wages are going up, if they're spending it, does that maybe offset some of the impact to the employers who are having to pay these higher wages?
Absolutely. So that creates a stronger economy, and that should be good news for those employers as well. So they may face some margin pressures, as labor costs typically are the dominant input cost. Nonetheless, faster economic growth creates a stronger business environment in which to operate. And that seems to be the case not only last year as we saw faster economic growth, but really a lot of that was due to tax cuts. What we're seeing playing out now is that this is not just a tax cut sugar high, as some critics refer to it, but in fact the economy is on fairly sound footing.
Carl Riccadonna, always good analysis. Thanks for being with us. Carl is chief U.S. economist at Bloomberg, based in New York. Coming up, a huge opening weekend at Arlington Park.
It's 60 Minutes of Financial Planning. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Arlington Park opens for its 92nd season today, the start of a big weekend, including a huge Kentucky Derby party. We welcome Tony Petrillo, president of Arlington International Racecourse. Of course, it is in Arlington Heights. Tony, great to have you on the show. So for people who have never been to Arlington, have never been to see a horse race, whether it's watching the Derby or seeing something local, give them sort of a taste of what they could expect.
Well, a horse race is always a thrill because it's like equated to a baseball game where every 22 minutes someone hits a home run. So it's the thrill and excitement. But here at Arlington, it's a whole different feel because it's surrounded by entertainment, contests, especially on Derby Day, hat contests with fashion. There's music, there's good food, there's bourbon bacon sandwiches and with pecan coleslaw. You know, bringing the Kentucky Derby here to Illinois. So we kind of call it the Kentucky Derby's home away from home.
There's something about, I've been to see horse racing in person many times, and there's just something about even feeling the pounding of the horses running that you just can't get when you're just watching it at home or something.
Right. You feel the thunder as they're coming down the stretch or coming out of the turn. And, you know, you can hear the jocks whistle to them, give them encouragement. And, you know, you even hear them breathing. You get that close here at Arlington.
Is there a family feel to this, or is it pretty much just an adult thing?
No, actually, Arlington is always a family affair. But with the kids in school, you find more adults here than you do children. But, you know, it's a generational thing. We always hear stories about people whose grandfather have brought them here at, you know, ages of six on up. So it's for something for everyone to enjoy.
Talk about in an age where you have so many competitors, not only activities that families can go out and do, but just things on people's screen. I mean, everyone has a computer in their pocket. Just talk about the challenge of running a place like Arlington, given that new environment.
Well, we have to have a variety that appeals to all demographics. So throughout our entire race season from May through the end of September, there's something new and different every weekend, which is kicked off with this weekend being free admission today with a free hot dog and a dollar beer, coupons to the first 1,000. So we do giveaways to try and drive people in as well. And then Saturday's the Kentucky Derby. The next week we follow up with the big Mother's Day weekend. And the following week we're looking at Preakness weekend. And then a couple weeks later, you know, we're looking at Belmont weekend, and that same weekend we also have 24 Medal of Honor recipients that are going to be out here. We'll have a small air show that day with some military displays, and then the following day is Viva Arlington, and then 2 weeks later is Father's Day. But there's always something going on every weekend. And then starting Memorial Day weekend all the way through Labor Day weekend is our Pepsi Family Days out in the park with pony rides and petting zoos and picnic tables and good Main Street food. And there's always some type of entertainment on our band stage.
Yeah, sounds like a really fun time, especially this weekend with the Derby going on. Thanks for being with us. Tony Petrillo, president of Arlington International Racecourse here in Arlington Heights. Still ahead, Entrepreneur Friday, an independent toy store on the north side, celebrates a quarter century in business. WBBM News Time 1225, a check of the markets from Bloomberg, sponsored by FinishingChicago.com. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco, the gains are sticking. The Dow is up 206 points or 0.75%. NASDAQ is higher by 115 points. That's a gain approaching 1.5%. And at 8,152, we are on track for a fresh record for the composite today. The S&P might also head in that territory as it's up 28 points or 1%. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg gaining almost 1%. Crude futures also headed higher after sliding in recent days. Futures trading now at $62.24 a barrel. What about the grains markets? For that, we're going to turn to Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
We've had mixed markets here today. Corn's been up 1 to down 4 at the moment. December unchanged at 387. July unchanged, 370.5. Beans have been up 4 to down 1.5. We have July unchanged at 843.25. November down 0.25, 864.75. And in the wheat, July is down 4.5 at 439.5 after being down as much as 8. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thank you, Pete. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 1230. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto. Stocks are higher today. We'll see what's lifting the markets. It's Entrepreneur Friday on the Noon Business Hour. We meet the owner, an independent toy store in Chicago. It's beating the odds. Celebrating a 25th anniversary, Governor Pritzker says he's willing to consider a proposal for a huge development west of Soldier Field downtown. Visitation begins at the top of the hour for Andrew A.J. Friend, the 5-year-old Crystal Lake boy whose parents are accused of his murder. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 209 points. The NASDAQ is up 117. And the S&P is up 28. Oil is up right about 0.5%. 52 degrees in Chicagoland, heading to a high of 57. And we'll have sunshine all day long. The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank. Markets are looking to wrap up the week on a winning note. So far, so good. To talk about it and provide some analysis, we're joined by Tim Grisky, Chief Investment Strategist at Inverness Council, based in New York. Tim, markets pretty much rising all around. What do you make of today?
Well, it's certainly a strong day in the markets today, Cisco. And, you know, I think this just shows that this market has further to go. There was some concern yesterday in terms of the Fed and some of their statements, but about inflation in particular, maybe not being as low as we think. But in general, we think this market is going to continue to head higher. This economy is firing on all cylinders, and we're seeing some at least stabilization of economies overseas, China and some of the European countries, perhaps not lapsing into recessions, which is certainly a good thing for the global economy.
Does the jobs report have anything to do with what we're seeing today?
Well, I think that's certainly put a nice tone on the market right from the get-go. You know, the jobs were strong, the payrolls were strong, a nice increase over expectations, and a good absolute number. Perhaps not all that it appears, but still, I think a very, you know, good number. That spells good things for the economy. Of course, on the other hand, maybe it raises some concerns at the Fed that growth is heating up, but I don't think we're there yet. I think the Fed really is going to be stuck in neutral here for quite some time.
Yeah, as the White House continues to pressure the Fed to even go back to lowering rates, a jobs report like this, and especially with some wage growth, doesn't seem like it would lead the Fed down that road.
Well, I think, the White House, of course, would like to have as much growth as possible going into an election. The Fed is independent from the rest of government. And its job is to counter inflation, make sure we don't get into an inflationary environment, and that we drive towards full employment. And we're certainly driving, if we're not already at, full employment. And inflation is pretty benign here. So we think that simply keeps the Fed in neutral here. It's better that the Fed have some ammunition, in other words, have the ability to lower interest rates in the future when inevitably we'll be in a less robust economic environment. The Fed can lower rates when we're in a recession, and that can help the economy. Right now, lowering rates, will certainly give some benefit to the economy, but not as much as during a recession.
What do you make of the earnings season? Still some to announce, but in general, what do you make so far?
Well, a lot better than expectations. Expectations were for about a 4% decline in earnings year over year. And we've seen earnings come in much better. We're, I think, right now at about a 2% year over year decline. And that sounds like it's a terrible thing, negative earnings year over year, but that can really be explained by the trade war and inventories and the government shutdown. Lots of what we'll look back on as one-time issues. So we see the economy doing better here. We think expectations will improve for corporate earnings, and we think that's going to continue to drive stock prices higher.
Interesting that we had a pretty good quarter in general if you look at the markets, and I think a lot of people at the end of the year were predicting that that would not happen, that we might actually go down on the market. So really better than expected.
Oh, yes. Well, things were pretty depressed there in the month of December, right? Going into Christmas Eve, the markets were really selling off hard. Obviously, some of that was tax loss selling. But since then, the market has just really, marched higher here. A lot of that has to do with stock buybacks, also this better-than-expected first-quarter earnings season, and I think an outlook for an eventual trade deal. All that will continue, we think, to spur prices higher.
Talk about the challenge of being an investor in an environment like this, where, as you mentioned, you have a rough December, then things are going really well for the first quarter of the year unexpectedly. Sort of tough to know where to move your money.
Well, and you really saw that. The gains that the market had during the first quarter of this year really were on fairly low volume. There wasn't a lot of conviction by investors. Now we've gotten to a point now where we think a lot of investors have come into this market. Maybe we won't see, really strong gains for the rest of the year, maybe more subdued gains for the rest of the year, given how quickly, this market has moved. And again, things can change at any point. There might be some issue that causes the market to correct. Volatility is part of equity investing, so you have to be prepared for that.
Any sectors particularly strong as we've been looking at these earnings?
Well, our biggest overweight is in technology, and certainly that sector is doing very well here. Our second biggest overweight is the industrial sector, which we think will benefit from an eventual trade deal. Healthcare had been a big overweight for us, and we pulled back during the quarter because of the debate that we think that the presidential candidates will have over Medicare for All or a single-payer plan. We think that might hold that healthcare sector back right now.
Thanks so much, Tim Grisky, for the analysis. Tim is Chief Investment Strategist at Inverness Council in New York. Up next, Entrepreneur Friday, finding success as the owner of an independent toy store.
Your best stock option. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's Entrepreneur Friday here on the Noon Business Hour, sponsored by Hotels of Oak Brook. This afternoon, we're talking toys and what it takes to build a successful business selling products designed for fun and educational development. We welcome Scott Friedland, head shopkeeper at Timeless Toys and Timeless Tots in the Lincoln Square neighborhood. Scott, good to have you with us. Tell us, for people who aren't familiar, maybe they haven't been to Lincoln Square, to your shop, just kind of tell us what your shop's like.
Absolutely. Timeless Toys is in the heart of Lincoln Square, and we sell toys age 0 to about 13, 14. And we sell developmental toys, things that you actually have to play with, a lot of classic toys, things that don't involve screens, a lot of fun for kids in the old school way.
And is that what you're finding among parents coming in? A lot of them want those toys that do not involve some sort of a screen?
Absolutely. There's a big trend going that way. We see there's a lot of issues as far as developmental process for kids when they use screen time. So now we're focusing on actually playing and focusing on those motor skills, speech skills, things of that nature as well.
Now, you've owned the store for a couple of years now, but it's been in business right about 25 years. How does that happen? It seems like a time in which mom and pop stores are really under pressure.
Absolutely. You know, it's a running a small business is all about with the product that you offer and the customer service you offer as well. Here at Timeless Toys, all of our staff is actually trained in early childhood development and education. So when you come in, it's not about what the most popular toy is. It's about finding the right toy for your kid and having toys out for them to play with. It's a true magical experience for kids coming into the store.
See, now that's interesting. So then the person behind the counter or the person helping you somewhere else in the store, they're not just telling you where a product is, which is how it is in many stores. They tell you, you can find it in aisle 3.
Exactly. Yeah. No, for us, it's we ask questions. It's how old is your kid? What are they struggling with in school? What do they play with already? Do they have siblings? All these types of things will make us, will let us give a better recommendation for toys and not just tell you what the most popular thing is for a four-year-old.
So Toys R Us went away. Was that a good or bad thing for an independent toy store?
Actually, I think Toys R Us going away is a bad thing for the toy industry as a whole. Toys R Us had a lot of buying power. It's always good to have competition. They were able to actually help out the small toy manufacturers by buying large quantities. And now we see a little bit of a rise in toy prices. A lot of companies being bought out by other companies created a lot of mayhem. So I don't know if it's especially good for small business, but you know we are gaining a few customers, which is good.
Is online Amazon, but other outfits is that a big competitor for you?
A lot of people see it that way. Personally, I don't see it that way. Like I said before, if Amazon is beating me out, it's because I don't have the right customer service and the right product mix. So for us, it's all about the experience coming into the store. You can get the product that day, and you know you're walking away with something that's quality that you won't want to send back when you see it in the box.
How have toy trends changed? I mean, 25 years is a long time. As you mentioned, a lot of folks are looking for educational things today. What kind of changes has your store seen?
We've seen a lot of changes. You know, there's ebbs and flows in toys. Today, board games, family board games are becoming really big, a lot more strategy-type board games. And right now, the big thing is coding. So all the science and coding products for kids, getting them into that computer technology, it is an important thing for them to learn. And here at Timeless Toys, we find a way to show those products and still keep it screen free, which is great.
Well, sounds great. Thanks for being with us, Scott. Scott Friedland, head shopkeeper at Timeless Toys and Timeless Tots. That's an apparel store just down the road from Timeless Toys, 4 stores down in the Lincoln Square neighborhood. Scott is our Friday entrepreneur. Still to come, Governor Pritzker weighs in on a proposed mega deal in the South Loop.
An economy of words. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Governor Pritzker says he's willing to consider subsidizing a proposed development near Soldier Field, but the project faces many hurdles. Let's look at the possibilities with Greg Hines, columnist at Crain's Chicago Business. Greg, for people unfamiliar with the project, tell us just a little bit about this over near Soldier Field.
Well, there's a guy named Bob Dunn, who's a developer mostly of stadium projects. He was involved in the rebuilding of Packer Stadium up in Green Bay, for instance. He's proposing to hook up with a Chicago company that has air rights to build over just over the Metro tracks just west of Soldier Field. And he's proposing a huge development, $20 billion in work, good half a dozen high rises. Exact mix hasn't been spelled out yet. And at the centerpiece, something he's put in apparently to make public officials interested in helping him out is he wants to build a transportation center that would essentially take the existing 18th Street Metro station, run the Orange Line, CTN line over to that, add a couple other things and have this big transportation center. In exchange, the way these projects always work, this guy wants some state help. He wants the state to reimburse him for what I'm understanding is at least half the cost of the transportation center, or about $1.8 billion.
And is that something, I mean, governor's at least is at least open to talking about it? So does it seem like it's something that may happen?
He is interested. The apparent war is that the developer argues that this transportation center, because it would include a lot of parking and commercial space, whatever, would become very valuable over time, and it would be an asset that would, after a few years, would be owned by the state. They could sell it. They could transfer pension funds to try to shore up some of the big debt we have, or do something like that. That's at least the pitch. Whether it really works out or not that way, we don't know enough yet to judge.
Would it make it perhaps an easier sell here in Chicago if it's money coming from Springfield instead of the city money, like with the Lincoln Yards deal?
Yeah, I think it probably would. The days of mega tips, I think Rahm Emanuel kind of used that up on Lincoln Yards and the 78 and the other projects that we've talked about recently. But interestingly, City Hall has been pretty much left out of this process. This has been a Springfield play. Mr. Dunn wants enabling legislation to pass this General Assembly session, if possible, by the end of the month. Mayor-elect Lightfoot has said next to nothing about it other than we're going to take our time.
In general, though, pretty good that you do have some of these mega projects being proposed and going through. It's got to say something about what's going on in Chicago.
It never hurts when big developers want to spend a lot of money and build up shiny new buildings in your town. You're absolutely right. It means jobs. It means tax revenue. It means good things for our reputation.
Greg Hines, always good to have you on the show. Greg is a columnist at Crain's Chicago Business. Past programs later today, a podcast of this hour at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the Radio.com app. WBBM News Time, 12:55, wrapping up the noon business hour with a check of Wall Street, sponsored by Baird. At Bloomberg, here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco, better than expected job growth in April has Wall Street heading higher, and the gains now for the day enough to lift the NASDAQ and S&P higher for the week, and the Dow is lower by just 0.1% so far this week. The blue chips now higher by 211 points. NASDAQ is advancing 120 points or 1.5%, pushing to a fresh record high. S&P up 29 points or 1%. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index up more than 1%. A startup is hoping to end business for those unscrupulous breeders that churn out designer breed dogs in deplorable conditions known as puppy mills. They're hoping to get them out of business. The company is called Good Dog. It got $6.7 million in funding. It's an online clearinghouse of what it deems to be reputable shelters, rescue outfits, and breeders. So it's kind of a Consumer Reports for the pet industry. With Business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.